This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN. Put your pinky rings up.
Hi, Jets Nation, get your 2021 season tickets today and get back to live football at MetLife Stadium this season. You'll lock in the best seats and pricing to see the green and white at every game. Plus, you'll get great benefits, including free food, beverage, and merchandise credit. Get back to football today at nyjets.com/tickets or call 1-800-469-JETS. Speaking of the Jets, they have to be a little bit disappointed because from everything that you heard and read, Thuney was definitely on their radar. They were very, very interested in him. And instead he goes to the Kansas City Chiefs. And that's such a big signing that it was announced on Twitter, and then subtweeting that was Patrick Mahomes, who had three big smile emojis. That's how important this guy could be to an offensive line. So the Jets have a lot of money to spend, and it's going to be a little interesting to see what they do, because Joe Douglas comes from the Ossie Newsome school that pretty much tells you you should try to build through the draft. But when you have the second most amount of money willing to be spent under, you know, the cap, I mean, are you not going to spend it? Now, you could roll some of it over to next year, but they're going to have to make a big splash. They're going to have to make a big splash. Yeah. And that would seem like that was the place that they were going to do it, because their offensive line wasn't that great last year, Don.
Yeah, but apparently the money's pretty much equal. And if the money's equal, Michael, you're going to go to Kansas City before you're going to go to the Jets. No offense.
Why?
To the Jets.
You mean because of the barbecue, the delicious barbecue?
No, because you got a chance to win a Super Bowl.
Oh!
Right away.
Oh, as opposed to... Okay, got it.
Yeah, so the Jets have to realize that in order to get what you want because of being in a rebuild, right now not really knowing who the quarterback is going to be, you're going to have to pay more money to get that free agent. Because how are you supposed to win over a free agent with everything's equal? I can go to Kansas City and protect Patrick Mahomes and have a chance to win a Super Bowl, or go to the Jets who are going to be in rebuild. Because everything's pointing them to taking Wilson. So unless Wilson, you know, jumps right in and can go and compete for a championship right away as a rookie, you've got a few years to rebuild. So that's a no-brainer for a free agent.
Well, so far they've signed the Lions linebacker, Jared Davis, to a one-year, $7 million deal. And that's what he did last year, too, these little tiny bargains. And, you know, if you're going to build through the draft, that's great. And they've got a lot of draft capital over the next couple of years. It's going to take long. There's not going to be any quick turnaround. You think Robert Saleh came here and wants to, like, be in a five-year – I don't think there's a five-year plan anymore. Not in football, not in professional sports. So I know it's early. I'm not going nuts, but this is the guy they supposedly wanted, and they let him get off the board. And if the price was equal, you know what? You got to stretch a little bit more. You got to make him want to come to New York, because you're going to have to buy out the fact that they're not yet ready to win, but he could be the guy that could get them there. And if they're not going to stretch a little, they're not, because other teams are going to equal their number. And the Jets are coming off a 2-14 season, Don. They're not very attractive if it's the same amount of money with a winning team.
Of course, because you just know most teams do not go from 2-14 to the playoffs. Now, Parcells almost pulled it off, but that's Bill Parcells. Now, let's see if Robert Saleh could do the same thing. But I got a chance to go to Kansas City. I got a chance to go to Green Bay. I got a chance to go even to New England. Chance to play with Bill Belichick, you know. I know who the quarterback is. I maybe you have more faith that Belichick with Cam Newton might be able to get that team into the playoffs more than Robert Saleh, who's never been a head coach before, and you don't know what quarterback you're protecting or what quarterback's going to throw you the football. So you're going to have to pay a tax on that.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting couple of days. You know, the Giants don't have that much money. The Jets have a load of money. The Jets have so many holes in which to patch up, and they – so far, you know, it's still early, so we're not going to go crazy, but one of their supposed reported targets goes somewhere else. So let's go to the phones and see what you're thinking. Let's go to Ira in Staten Island. Ira.
Hey, Michael. How are you, Don, Peter? Listen, I'm not shocked here. I never thought they'd get Thuney. I thought he was going to go to a winner. And I've been telling you guys since they hired Saleh, it's great to get energy in the building. He may turn out to be the next Vince Lombardi. Who knows? But the bottom line here is they're a bad team after 2-14 year. They've had a bad 10-year stretch. They don't have an answer quarterback. And I knew if they don't overpay for free agents, okay, they're not going to come here, especially with no quarterback answer. And that's the bottom line. And I don't blame Douglas for it. I mean, I'm not going to pay somebody more than what they're really worth. But sometimes, you know, you have to maybe give a little bit of an edge. I'm not going to say you spend like a drunken sailor. But, you know, the bottom line here is I'm glad of one thing. they're making the right decision with Mosley, because it looks like they're trying to trade him. And this Davis signing, he's a nice player. Once again, Douglas signed somebody to a one-year deal. It looks like that's what he's going to be sticking with, unless he, you know, signs somebody to a 3 or 4 year deal. It's going to shock me if he does. But it would be good to get Mosley off the books and move on from him, because guess what? After 2 years out of the NFL, really, coming off an injury and sitting out 2 years, how much do you think this guy got left in the tank? At 30 years old, I don't.
Right.
So the best news that I could get at the end of today is that Mosley has been traded elsewhere.
It'd be interesting, though. Yeah. So if you're going to sign all one-year deals, you're not going to get the top flight players. You're just not. And those one-year deals, that $7 million deal that they signed with Jared Davis, that's $7 million off the money that you have available to spend. It's not like you can amortize it out over three, like what the Saints did with Hill. I mean, they gave him a contract that looks like it's gigantic, ginormous, but it's really worth only $7 million. So you keep signing these one-year deals, you're going to chop that money off the cap, and really, are you getting exponentially better? And I don't think you are.
Well, see, that's I'm no capologist, Michael, so maybe there is some reasoning behind these one-year deals. They did it with Perryman last year, if you remember, and they were able to get the 1 year out of him. You're not going to make a huge jump, right? You went 2-14 last year. So you signed Davis to a 1 year contract. All right, you got to have linebackers. You want to play well at those positions, but it's not like that $7 million is going to forward you towards a championship. Now, if he has a monster year, maybe you feel like, all right, I got a chance of bringing him back. But if you sign him to a multi-year deal, if you like him, you might get him cheaper in that second and third year than if he has like a monster season and has like 10 sacks, and now you might lose him in free agency, or you bring him back, but you're going to have to bring him back at more money than if you sign him to the three-year contract now. So why wouldn't you give multiple years to a guy you like than just a one-year contract and then maybe lose that guy if he has a good year?
And also, from a fan standpoint, it's sort of so depressing to bring these guys in, because it just – it doesn't show that you think you're actually building towards anything right now.
Right.
You're just filling in pieces.
Yep.
Yeah, you're taking, let's see what we can get here. Now, listen, if you're a team that's ready to win, you know, if you're the Buffalo Bills and you sign someone for 1 year, okay, that's great, because guess what? They think they're winning the Super Bowl next year. But what does it do here?
And now another guy goes off the board that they might have been interested in, Corey Linsley, the center, Tom Pelissero reporting, that Linsley is now off the board to the Chargers. So two big offensive linemen that the Jets were supposedly in on, gone. Just like that, beginning of free agency, gone. And while they're not doing anything, the Patriots are diving into a free agent pool, which they haven't done in years like this, throwing big money at big players and getting them. So,
yeah,
you know, everybody thinks the Patriots are on the way. Bill Belichick is not ending his career with bad teams. He's going to create something here again. Is it ever going to be to the level that it was? No. So, you know, you got the Bills ready to win a Super Bowl. You got an ascendant Miami team. Patriots aren't going away. And so far, we're just treading water in Florham Park.
The Patriots are going to let go of – I mean, I know they lost the division last year, but in terms of truly letting go, it will. You'll have to take it from Bill Belichick's cold, dead hands.
Yeah.
He is going – we already know. The second I saw that he's bringing back – Cam, that really shows you he believes they have enough there. They got to 7 wins last year. He doesn't think they need that much. And knowing him, let's be honest, guys, if Bill Belichick has 65%, 70% of the talent the Bills have, because this year it wasn't that, guys. It was what, 30%? If he could get to 65, 70% of the talent the Bills have, I might bet on the Patriots. That's how much I respect Belichick and what he could do if he had a half-decent team to field.
Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Let's go to Scott in Queens. Scott.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I just wanted to push back on this claim that Drew Brees is not better than Peyton Manning. And I respect your opinion, but I think you're dead wrong. Here's why. So statistically, you said that Brees was better than Manning. That is correct.
No, I was talking about Eli, by the way.
At the time, you were talking about Rodgers, Peyton, Brady, and Brees.
Okay. Right, yeah.
All right, go ahead.
So Brees has more completions, passing yards, and passing touchdowns than Peyton. And I remember you specifically said that, well, Drew Brees played most of his games in the dome. Well, yes, so that is true, but didn't so did Peyton. And you likened the warm weather and good the good winning conditions to Atlanta and Tampa Bay when Peyton also had Jacksonville and Houston.
True.
And Brees is also shorter than Peyton, so that serves as a disadvantage. And as a height disadvantaged person myself, I can relate.
One thing to throw at you, though, because you're making a compelling argument. One thing to throw at you in the middle of it, though. Don't forget, Peyton had maybe his best season ever not in the dome.
Right. Remember, he closed out in Denver. He had 2 years in Denver, 5,477 yards, 55 touchdowns, and then 4,727 yards, 39 touchdowns. Guy threw like 90 touchdowns in 2 years in Denver.
That was in Denver.
Let me ask you a question, Scott.
100% true.
But Scott, you're throwing numbers at, and they're always great. Let's do eye test right here. You got to pick one of those two quarterbacks on the team that fits their skill set to win a game for your life. Who are you picking, Peyton Manning or Drew Brees? Be honest.
I mean, there's a difference here, though, because Peyton Manning had more to work with. So if I'm gonna pick up a quarterback,
did you see the talent that
Drew Brees
had
for my life? Maybe
years?
I pick Peyton because in his prime he was better. But in their primes, didn't Drew Brees beat Peyton Manning in the Super Bowl?
Yeah,
he did.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also, Eli Manning beat Tom Brady twice. Nobody's going to put
that
Eli
is,
Manning.
That is fair.
Let's not
did,
dance.
Did Peyton
there.
Manning
Listen,
ever
honestly, honestly? And we can have the back and forth, and you can throw the analytics and the stats all you want. Peyton Manning is definitely a full level higher than Drew Brees.
I mean, I think it would be easier to compare if they had similar performing teams.
But then you know what? Then you, wait, you can't.
Personally, because of the disadvantages that Drew Brees had. And where he is statistically against Peyton Manning, I think that he is a better quarterback than Peyton.
Okay,
but I
Scott,
do see your point, though.
You're the only person on the face of the earth that has that opinion, by the way.
Also, the disadvantages. I mean, the different team. Then we can't compare anybody because nobody's ever on the exact same team. And you can't tell me that Drew Brees, the talent that he had, the skill level position players he's had over the last 3 years, and he hasn't been able to go to the Super Bowl and win. Stop.
Yeah,
That was a pretty unbelievable receiving core and running back core. Stop it.
God, I'm confused. So that's what I was confused by. You look back at Drew Brees' entire history, the amount of different talent he's had at different times. But particularly, isn't there a chance at this point? I know this is early. Wouldn't you say there's a good chance that Michael Thomas goes down in history as better than Marvin Harrison or Reggie Wayne?
And really, Scott Payton's Sean Payton is better than any coach that Peyton Manning played under.
I mean, all due respect to Tony Dungy, but Sean Payton has done this repeatedly over and over and over again. Like, it's a great point.
Listen, Drew Brees going to Hall of Fame. They're both Hall of Famers, okay?
But they're in the same room.
Peyton Manning is in the conversation as the greatest ever to play the position. Now, he's going to lose a face-off to Tom Brady, like we said earlier, because Brady's been so successful in the postseason and had a lot of wins against Peyton. But from a regular season standpoint, I don't know if there's a better quarterback than Peyton Manning. In the history of the sport, to say that Brees is better is to say that Brees is the greatest quarterback ever to play. He's not.
Now, listen, I get the similarities. I think the dome conversation's an interesting one. I also think this is an eye test thing, guys. But, you know, the one I've said this to you before, and you guys may think I'm a hack-a-doodle-doo. I think you do, actually. Mm-hmm. But the one thing I always felt watching Peyton Manning was, he was so good, the timing in which he threw the ball, it felt like every time the receiver caught the ball, there was no one within 5 yards of them ever. That's what always, and I will say, the quarterback who reminds me of that the most might be Drew Brees, but it's not Peyton. People forget Peyton's prime because we've been so inundated, rightfully so, with the Brady story. There's a reason people said Brady versus Manning, even though championships-wise, it's not close. It's because on field, Manning was that good. He impressed you. Watching Manning play, in my opinion, guys, was much more impressive than watching Brady play.
right, we're going to take a brief timeout. I want to remind everybody, we're all excited about this here at the station. Drop Madness on the Michael K. Show is brought to you by Wendy's, where quality is our recipe. Wendy's,
yes!
We got you, and we got Drop Madness this Thursday. We know March Madness is going on. We're going to cover that like a glove. But Drop Madness is a completely different animal.
And this is such good news, Michael. We're very transparent with our audience. We've talked before about people not loving, management not loving Drop Madness. Let me tell you what. I have a little hunch that once you add Wendy's in front of it, management's going to get right in line with Drop Madness this year. Am I right?
Our coverage of March Madness is like a glove, like Michael said. But the glove covers the hand, which is Drop Madness.
Thank you.
Dear God.
Wow.
It's a lot.
Brian Costello is saying he got the sense the Jets were not that interested in Lindsley. But now Lindsley and Thuney off the board, next level of interior offensive lineman, according to Brian, it's a big drop. So where do they go?
Remember, these are only reports that they're this hot over these particular players.
Right.
We don't know what Joe Douglas is thinking.
All right, let's take a brief timeout. Towel off, a lot of stuff being done today. We have Rick Pitino on at 5 o'clock as Iona Gales in the NCAA. So sit back, relax, shower, then towel off right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, everybody. Rick Pitino, coach of Iona, coming on at 5 o'clock. The Gales in the tournament again. The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN, brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Let's go back to the phones. Tim in Staten Island. Tim.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
How you doing?
Good, good, good. So I just wanted to say something real quick. I'm watching TV this weekend, and just flipping through the channels, and I come upon Harry and the Hendersons. And, Michael, it hit me like a ton of bricks, and I mean this in the nicest, most flattering way, but you look just like John Lithgow in 1987.
Mm. I think that's a compliment.
Oh, you do? I don't, Peter. Let's see, 1987, how many years ago? So that's 13, 21, 33 years ago. He's 75 now, so that would make him 40. I guess if I'm 60 and I look like a 42-year-old, I'll take it. I don't think he's any oil painting, Tim, but I'll take it.
Why he's do you good think enough that's to be a Hollywood actor.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of people that aren't oil paintings that are Hollywood actors. I mean, Steve Buscemi isn't pretty.
I know. I just want to remember this conversation because, you know how often, Don, Michael likes to point out someone who's clearly not attractive and say they're handsome. Or, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
John Lithgow's a really nice guy. I've interviewed him. He's a splendid person, but I mean.
And who do you think better
looking? Maybe he thought I looked like Harry.
Who's better, Lithgow or prime Lithgow, prime Scott Van Pelt?
Oh, Van Pelt.
Wow. But that's just because you don't know Lithgow.
I know Lithgow.
Excuse me?
I know Lithgow. He lived on the third rock from the sun.
Wow.
Peter, you know what? I was. You actually watched some of the Yankee game today?
Well, how do you not?
Well, I mean, I understand you watching it, John, Don, but Peter watching the exhibition game. Maybe he's getting ready for next Wednesday.
No. I saw. You want to know the truth?
Yeah.
The truth is, I saw how much you were tweeting about this, and
I know
that
how to promote
that it means something to you. So I watched some. I listened when I was showering. I was listening to you guys. Which means you'll be happy to know I was fully in the nude.
So you were soaping up your nude body listening to me and John Sterling.
It was more just listening to John Sterling, but I'm told you were there. And then
chicken liver.
And then I posted on my Instagram story and, was retweeting you. I'm here to support the team. It's the kind of guy I am.
Wow.
Did you have fun?
What'd you say, Donnie?
Did you have fun?
Yeah. It was weird, though, because we're in different places, so at the beginning we were stepping on each other. Then we kind of got we hadn't worked together in 20 years, got the rhythm. But, yeah, it was a blast. It was,
I didn't even think about that. So not only have you not worked together for a million years, but you're also in different locations.
Right. And then Meredith is in Tampa. So, I mean, we've got the triangle offense going. But it worked out. It seemed like people on Twitter certainly liked it, which, you know, that's the reason you do stuff like this. But the funny part is that John just didn't seem like he wanted to go down memory lane. He just wanted to do a game.
No.
Did you notice that too, Don?
I did get a sense that he wanted to do this like a straight, you know, right. Yankee broadcast. And there was a couple of times you let him in to some stories, and he just didn't seem to be.
Well, there was the one time in the first inning that some will describe as, in a word,
troubling,
where Michael just goes, you know, and John's going, and he's going, and of course I'm waiting for my guy. All due respect to the great John Sterling, I'm waiting for my guy, right? So I'm waiting for it to hear Kayster, and then we get some space, and Kayster jumps in and goes, "Well, John, does it feel like 30 years since we first started doing this?"
Still waiting for the answer. Four hours later.
So John does the baseball announcer move. Oh, up next, so-and-so, I'm batting 245 here, blah, blah, blah. Okay, he's going to finish the intro and answer Michael's question.
Nope.
No. Went on with the entire at-bat. Michael's question was in the ether. It's still flying out there.
I don't think he heard it. I really don't. Again, because of the delay, I just don't think he heard it. But overall, good, and we'll do it again next Monday, and then we'll do our two innings or three innings on the 24th. Looking forward to that. Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Rick Pitino takes his fifth college to the NCAA. It's pretty amazing. And this is an amazing story this year. We'll talk to the Iona Gales head coach when we get back right here on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Donnie, this is not good news from Larry Brooks of the Post. Fox, Buchnevich, and DiGiuseppe on COVID protocol list, out of the lineup today against Philly. Now, DiGiuseppe is on for the second day, so Larry says it can safely infer that he has contracted the virus.
Right.
Not necessarily so for Fox and Buchnevich. So this virus has torn through some teams. The Rangers have been able to avoid it, but you wonder what's happening now.
Yeah, and well, you know, they haven't been able to completely avoid it. You know, Kako was on for a while and was out. Zibanejad had it before the season started. Heedle had it while he was nursing his lower body injury, so he didn't miss any more time because of that. But it looks like DiGiuseppe has it, and maybe the contract tracing had put him in contact with Fox and Buchnevich. So if they test negative over the next couple of days, they could be back in time, I would guess, for Wednesday's game against Philadelphia. So they've called up a kid from the minor leagues to play, you know, and Rangers trying to win a second consecutive game. Reuninen, who is a 23-year-old who has 5 points in 8 games with Hartford so far this year. Because remember, the AHL got started so late, there's only been a handful of games played by some of these minor leaguers. So this is what happens. I guess we're fortunate there's still a game, but Philadelphia's not going to feel bad for them because Philadelphia went through COVID protocol about 3 weeks ago and missed some top players. So this isn't over. It's not. And I think they'll do okay in the NCAA tournament bubble because the bubble seemed to be a safe place to be. But the numbers are getting better. But there's constant reminders that you could still contract this virus and it's still an issue. And you're not out of the woods yet by any stretch.
And Michael, I'm sure knowing you that you paid some attention to this. Stories coming out over the weekend from other countries in the world where they have had the vaccine for a while and numbers are starting to spike again.
But they still have not gotten the vaccine out in the same way that the U.S. has. So the vaccine's...
There's concern in Israel, though, where they've done a great job with the vaccine.
Well, I mean, maybe the variants then become concerning. But supposedly the vaccines do take care of the variants in some way.
Well, for the most part, that's what they think. How about some positive news, though? Guess what just came in the mail right here?
What?
A beautiful, brand new, fresh out the package. I know this is going to excite you very much. Peter Rosenberg, 24/7 championship T-shirt. Look at this item, Don. You know what? I'm going to order one for you because I know you'd support me. You'd wear it.
I would definitely support you in every way.
Well, you ordered your own T-shirt?
Yeah, I did them through a company where they print them. You order them, and they're made to order.
Oh, you know what? That's gorgeous.
I want one. Nice. I'm not paying for it, but I would wear it.
You wouldn't, but you wouldn't. See, that's the kind of guy
I would go. I would pay. I'd pay $25 for that.
Well, you know what? You have a lot of money with all the cameo stuff. I've got a lot of expenses, so I'd like to get it. Oh, the back is nice too.
You like that? 24/7, great guy. Still available for a couple more days on my Instagram page. Now, you missed a very interesting call earlier, Michael.
Okay.
A caller called up and reviewed me and Don's cameos.
Okay.
And Don, how did he describe it? He said, with Don, you absolutely get your money's worth in words.
And words per minute.
Words per minute.
Loves.
But mine, he said, was limited, but brilliant.
Yeah.
And he wants to know when you're going to get on Cameo.
I saw this week that Ruth Buzzy is on Cameo. If a star like Ruth Buzzy could be on Cameo, why not me? Why not me, Don?
Well, don't let that be the line of demarcation. You should be on it.
But here's my question for you, because he asked, what would Michael's style be on Cameo? And I decided I think the only way for you to go is schmaltzy.
Oh, I'd be sincere.
That's almost one and the same. No. So you think you just – so people ask you to deliver a message. Hey, Steve, it's Michael. I heard both of your legs were bitten off in a shark accident.
Right.
So sorry to hear that. Here's to you.
Recreate the accident?
Here's to you, and here's to your legs. See ya.
No, my cameos would make people cry. They'd be so sincere. You're paying for sincerity there. They want to know that you care. Hey, buddy, hey.
But there what is a, dance for me clown aspect to Cameo, where there are times where they ask you to rip into their buddy who's a fraud, rant about, how awful he is as a softball player. You're not doing that.
But if I got on Cameo, people are going to say, can you do a home run call for my buddy? I would do that.
Yeah, that's definitely what it's going to be. Hey, Michael, my friend.
There are going to be people that are going to say that here. There's a buddy that was a Yankee fan, but he rooted for the Mets in the 86 World Series. I want you to tear into him. You're not going to do that.
Yeah, my friend Johnny, we were just walking up a mountain the other day, and he fell just plain off the mountain. He's in shambles right now. Will you send him a message?
Yeah.
Things like that.
Yeah, sure. Some injury news for the Yankees. Robinson Chirinos was a broken right wrist. Will undergo surgery tomorrow. So Boone said there's going to be a 4 to 6 week recovery time. Miguel Andujar, talk about a kid whose rookie year was so brilliant. Everything's gone downhill since then. Mm. He has a problem with his right wrist. He's dealing with a muscle strain and a nerve issue. So he's going to continue to receive treatment. And he felt it when he was playing in winter ball, but he didn't feel it to this extent. And then it finally flared up again. So I don't think, barring a major injury, there was no avenue for him to make this team anyway this year. Just not. So I feel sorry for the kid. I really do, because he's got a lot of talent. Oh, I'm excited about tonight's game, Knicks against the Nets. I mean, I got to give total credit to the Knicks for winning that game in Oklahoma City. Now, they had some injuries. Gilgeous Alexander obviously was out, but I'm sorry. That's a home court for them, although they're the only team in the NBA that is not allowing fans in all year. And the Knicks came in and handled the business after being embarrassed in the first game of the second half. They play. That's a big win. I'm sorry. That's a big win. Even if they lose tonight against the Nets and tomorrow against the Sixers, 1-3 is not awful against those four teams, teams that were better than you record-wise. And I like that the Knicks went into Oklahoma City and did what they had to do. I'm pumped up for tonight's game. You could actually watch it on YES. Their coverage starts right after the show. And I believe nationally it's also on ESPN. But the bottom line is that's a fun game. And it's going to be interesting to see if, in fact, the Knicks bring it up a level against a team like this that is 12-1. It's his last 13 games. Is really a show. They put on a show every single game. There was a give-and-go play with James Harden the last game the Nets played that was just – it was breathtaking. How great it was, how almost like Globetrotter-like, the way they passed the ball. You couldn't even see how they were passing the ball, and it ended up in a dunk. They're just a fun team to watch. I think the Knicks are going to have to grind. They're going to have to play hard. They might even have to get Pat Riley dirty with them, make them pay for every single time that they go to the basket. But this is a game I'm looking forward to. I really am. I know you guys spoke about it at the beginning of the game when I was finishing up the game with John Sterling, but I'm pumped up about this game. It should be great.
Yeah, I want a rivalry, you know, and I want the Nets to come in with a chip on their shoulder, ticked off that they're dominating and yet they're the second team in town. I want the Knicks to treat this as a chance to be a really good measuring stick. I don't want what happened in Milwaukee, where it almost seemed like, we don't really have a chance to win, so let's just go. No, I want you to play hard. I want this to be a fun rivalry, because maybe this could be a preview of maybe a first-round playoff matchup. It's possible, right?
It is possible.
You know, so let's see it. I want to see listen, I don't think it's going to be like 1993, where guys are going to be throwing bodies all over the place and fights and all that, but I would like to see a little bite to this game. I want to see a nice rivalry, and I want to see both teams bring it.
How about R.J. Barrett? He's starting to play like the number three pick in the draft. He's had over 20 points. He's averaged exactly 21 points in his last three games, so he's played very, very well. So now they've got two go-to guys for scoring, Randall and R.J. Barrett.
And we were talking about it earlier, Michael. You know, Julius Randle goes out there and gets his second triple-double of the season. And did you see the stat?
I couldn't believe it. I thought it was a misprint.
Since 88-89, Mark Jackson, and we were talking about it like pretty extensively. Listen, I know that it's a relatively new thing. I don't know how hard players were trying to get triple-doubles back in the day. But since like all through the 90s and 2000s, some pretty good teams. Nobody actually stumbled upon multiple triple-doubles for 32 years?
I can't believe it. And what Harden has like eight just this year alone? It's amazing. It's just I'm glad you brought that up, because I looked at that. That can't be. I mean, they've had great players, but I don't know. It's very, very weird. They probably didn't keep triple doubles to that extent, but I'm sure that Walt Frazier had to have more than two triple doubles in a season.
No, but it was the first since. Yeah, but I guess he wasn't. There's the list only had like what, four guys?
Yeah.
But to not have one in 32 years? But we were talking about it. Who would have? I mean, they got Jason Kidd at the end of his career. Right. Ewing wasn't getting any triple-doubles. Carmelo certainly wasn't getting any triple-doubles.
By the way, I have to, my eyesight's failing me. Barrett's had 21 points a game in his last seven games. So he has really, really been very, very good. Very good. So the coverage on YES begins at 7:30. The coverage here on 98.7 begins at 7:30 with the pregame. And the reason it's starting at 8 is because it's nationally televised on ESPN.
That's right.
It's a big-time game, and the Knicks aren't on national television that much. So there's an opportunity for them to flex and go, look, we're good too.
Who's calling the game tonight?
Ian Eagle and Sarah. And I believe on ESPN it's Mike Breen. And I don't know who he's calling the game with, but I know Mike.
So no MSG at all for the game.
No,
tonight.
Which I don't quite understand. I don't know why. Does that make sense?
So YES still has it.
Yeah, YES has it.
ESPN has it, but no.
But MSG's not doing it. Maybe
any
because
chance
MSG is doing the Rangers?
Yeah, but they've got other platforms to put the Rangers, unless it's just that. Is it something where when it's on nationally, because it'll be on in New York, I guess, on ESPN, right?
I think it might, yeah.
That, you know, the home team gets to broadcast the game, but the road team doesn't? Is there a rule there?
It has to be something like that, Don, because I looked at that and I said, this doesn't make sense. Why wouldn't MSG want to carry it? Don't
hey,
know.
Don, by the way, I asked you last week, I still need your suit size.
I know, I'm sorry.
My buddy LV.
Just get him a big suit.
LV reached out today. He said, what do you think about if I get you guys, all three of you, new jackets to wear for the big game on March 24th?
Oh, then I will get that for you. I'll run upstairs during a break.
He can't send me a 48 regular. I mean,
no,
I
he's
look like Chris Farley.
No, he's got you. You're getting more longs. I have longs coming your way.
Jet fans, enter for your chance to win an authentic Jets helmet signed by new head coach Robert Saleh. So far, two big free agents didn't want to put on that Jet helmet, but maybe the Jets didn't want them. To enter, visit nyjets.com before 11:59 p.m. tonight. That's tonight. 1 minute to midnight. You have to get in. No purchase necessary, and open to legal residents of the U.S. 18 years or older at time of entry. All right, there you go. When we come back, we'll take some phone calls. We have a big ENN as well. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on YES and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
A couple of things. Mike Breen, doing the game with Doris Burke on ESPN. And the best I can come up with, I've been checking in with some people, the Nets have already hit the exclusive window for national telecast.
Okay.
Because they're on national TV so much, you can't take local games away, that many local games away from your regional sports network. So Yes is allowed to carry it. The Knicks have not hit their national number.
No.
So that eliminates MSG, and that's why they're not doing it. Got it?
Ah, that makes sense. Yeah.
We wanted answers. We got answers.
Also, the New York Post reporting that the Knicks radio team is out due to safety and health protocols. So, Brendan Brown and Ed Cohen will not be doing the game tonight. And they didn't do the game the other night on radio either. It was
Kenny and Alan Hahn.
It was Alan Hahn doing it with Kenny. So I don't know if Ed or Brendan actually have COVID, but we send out our best wishes. Hmm. Whatever they're going through, hope you guys get through it okay, and that you're safe and well, and you get back soon. So that's why they will not be doing the game tonight. I'm not sure who's doing the game tonight on our air.
I know John Giannone's doing the play-by-play.
Oh, John Wallace and John Giannone, I'm told.
Yeah.
Okay. There you go. 1-800-919-3776. Go to Manny in Pennsylvania. Manny.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Doing well, Michael, Peter, and Don. I'm just so out of breath. I guess because I'm just pacing back and forth, and my excitement builds because I hear the Nets, the Knicks going at it, and I couldn't have been more excited because, Michael, this is a day that I've been waiting for such a long time because I've been a Knicks fan since 85. And I can understand, you know, Spike Lee, he's a huge fan, but what happened with him and Oakley and Ewing, to me personally, was just a disgrace. Just a disgrace to the organization, to the Knicks fans and everything. And I'm so excited to see this game tonight. Even though we might lose, hey, I'm trying to look at the glass half full. But if we win, hey, you know, but it just gives me a good feeling knowing that we were never irrelevant. It's just that people were overlooking us and our talent. So, yeah. Brooklyn Nets going to come in there with a chip on their shoulder, like Don said. But at the same time, they're probably going to play a little bully ball. But they have to know that, like you said before, Michael, they are still New York's number one basketball team.
Wait. Did you actually just say the Knicks were never irrelevant? The Knicks have been irrelevant for the most part of 20 years because they've been bad.
But Michael, at the same time, how are you going to say that the Knicks are still New York's number one team? You know, I mean, which I really don't understand because people, for whatever reason, you know, they look at us as a laughing stock, as a joke, that we're not taken serious, and we are. But
Manny, I mean, you're kind of crossing wires here. They've been a laughing stock for all of 20 years except for three seasons, a total laughing stock. Knicks fans still love them. I mean, that's what a fan is. You stay with a team even though it's going through bad times, and Knicks fans have been very loyal.
Right.
But don't try to clean it up and say that they haven't been a laughingstock. They've been an absolute laughingstock.
And listen, I get if you're a Knicks fan that you're proud that you're the number one team and that you're the more popular team.
Okay, I'd rather be the better team.
There's pride in that. But the objective is to be the best team on the court. All right? So that's fool's gold. You get blasted by 30 points tonight, walk away going, well, at least we're the more popular team. Where does that get you? Right? That and 250 will get you a cup of coffee at Starbucks. It makes you feel good for 5 minutes, but the objective is to be great. Every Knicks fan wants to be as good as the Nets. So it's nice that you're more popular, but what does that get you? It's not a popularity contest. They're not going to judge it at the end of the season. It's about winning, getting more points than the opposition. That's what it's about.
How much do you pay for a cup of coffee at Dunkin' when you make the run?
$2.19, I think, for a large. I get the large with just milk.
But Michael, remember, if there's a party at the LaGreca household, he's got to buy four or five.
Well, I got to tell you, first of all, you know, post-pandemic, I'm going to have a big pool party, Peter, and we're going to have the coffee maker there.
Oh, yeah.
Because
life, the world's changing.
You're going to rent one or you're going to buy one?
I'm going to buy one. Listen, it has not been a problem because I shouldn't tell this, but we're an open book here. I think my brother sometimes appreciates the break and wants to make the coffee run.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we've been okay, because he's the big coffee drinker, and he sometimes just like Splitsville for a while. I think he just likes to take a 30.
Just a quick 30.
So right? You completely take that 30 away.
Well, I'm
going to
take the 30 away because now I'm partaking and I'm really enjoying it.
You've never been a big coffee drinker as long as I've known you.
It's all turned around. I'm going to tell you another thing because I'm losing weight here.
All right.
So Saturday I got called to do the Ranger game. So it was a long day and I just didn't have a chance to eat. But I, you know what I did? I stopped off, got a nice large cup of coffee. You'd be surprised. I was able to milk that through the game. I didn't nosh or anything because I was also doing the pre and post, so I couldn't even go to the bathroom.
Like an animal.
That, Peter, that could end up being a low-calorie meal. As long as you're not putting a bunch of sugar in the coffee.
Don.
What kind of nutrients are you getting out of coffee?
You know what, Don, by the way? I don't want you to – don't get a coffee thing. I am getting you one, okay?
Oh.
I put you on to Old Fashions, and I am going to pick the coffee maker, and I'm going to send it to you as a gift. Now, my question for you is, do you think you would enjoy something like a Nespresso where you put the pods in and it makes the coffee?
Mm.
Or would you rather – because here's the thing. Here's what I find, though. That is really nice, but you order the pods, and I don't know. There's something very – There's something very modern and just like not fun about it. Whereas – when, yeah, a little bit, and then when you make it from a pot, once, by the way, I was a moron for years, had no idea how to do it. Once you know how to just simply put the coffee grinds in and make coffee, the nice part about that, Don, is then you go somewhere, see they have their own coffee, and you can just buy different coffees and find new ones you're into. So you tell me what you'd rather do.
If you get a Keurig machine, right, a Keurig, however you pronounce it, he can get Dunkin' pods.
That's right.
Right.
I think I'm a pod guy. I'll be the only one in the house drinking it until we get to the big party, the big pool party in the summer.
Peter, can you promise me something, Peter?
Yeah.
When we start the segment with me trying things, you know, when my world turns around,
yeah,
I'd like to try coffee. Can you make that one of the things?
Yeah, and if we can't get that one sponsored, I think everyone who works at the station should be fired. But
interesting.
Absolutely, and I actually do think that Don's right. That could be a game changer. I was never a coffee guy my entire life. I did mornings for about 2 years, and then that Dunkin' started hitting my lips, and it changed. I'm not like a spastic. I don't feel it immensely. It just is this enough of a pick-me-up that I hear it change my voice. I become more alive.
Interesting. Hey, Don, did you see over the weekend somebody started a Twitter account about Peter's hairy arms?
I did see that.
I think it had no followers.
No. After I retweeted it, it definitely got followers.
I'm glad you retweet the important stuff.
So my hair's got a Twitter handle. Peter's arm hair does.
Right. What's next for me? Big head?
I'm sure there's something.
I think that might already be there, actually.
Rick DiPietro just texted. Would you like to hear it? You better get the pool skimmer ready if Peter's swimming in it.
You know, first of all, I'll have you know that unlike my arms, I do trim my body quite a bit. So
I'm going to need that, Anthony. Thank you.
I'm going to make sure that it's a Yankee off day.
Rick will be invited as well. But you're not going to have PCR tests. I'm not going there unless everybody is clean and vaccinated. I'm just not.
Wait, hold on. Are you demanding vaccinations and tests?
No. I don't. Not vaccinations at the pool, but I need PCR tests. I need saliva something.
But so if Don tells you everyone coming to the pool party is vaccinated,
I'm in.
You're gonna say I also need tests or
no,
just the vaccinations?
No. But I would like proof that everybody's vaccinated.
All right. Well, don't worry. We're all gonna have to need that soon. Don't you worry. That's where the world's going.
Let's hit reset, okay? Because we have a big ENN coming up. There are a lot of things for Peter to cover. I don't know if he can do it in, well, he usually takes an hour anyway. But stay tuned. See if he can. Kay, LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you. And Coffee, too, right here on YES and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, everybody that listens to this show knows how much I love Fordham. I'm not where I am today without Fordham and the opportunities that it afforded me and the experience I got at the college radio station. But I got to tell you, every year I get more and more aggravated when Iona goes to the tournament, wins the MAC, and they don't just go once every 10 years. They go all the time. And, you know, you talk about facilities. Rose Hill Gym is better than the gym they have on the Iona campus. It just is. And Fordham is an outstanding academic institution. There is no reason why Fordham can't be in the tournament as often as Iona. Now, one of the reasons could be, well, they're in the Atlantic 10, and Iona's in the MAC, where I guess Fordham should be. But if Fordham's going to stay in the Atlantic 10, they got to make a hire now and get a coach of substance in here. A guy like a Fran Fraschilla, somebody like that, who would take the job. I'm telling you, an experienced guy who has won and knows New York.
Mm-hmm.
You can't sit back and continue to allow yourself to be a laughingstock. We talk about the Knicks being a laughingstock. Do you know that Fordham hasn't made the NCAA tournament in 29 years? 29 years. Not even close, Peter. Not even close have they come to making it.
And you're in a division. It's not like you're not able to make the tournament. You're in a conference.
Atlantic 10, you see a team like St. Bonaventure gets in, beating VCU. St. Bonaventure is a good school. What's the difference between St. Bonaventure and New York? Oh, the fact that Fordham's actually in New York City. A lot to sell. So I don't get it. They have a new AD there, Edward Cull, who I like a lot, and I think he's going to try to do the right things. But this is a wake-up call to the administration, the people that run Fordham. You either want to win and have the commitment, or you don't. You don't bring in some yokel from some small conference that was an assistant coach, or you just don't do it. It doesn't work. So their position has been open since the middle of the season, and now all other jobs are opening up. So now they've got to battle those jobs for impressive coaches. There are people out there that could turn this around. Now, if you don't want to play hardball, you know what you should do? Get the heck out of the Atlantic 10. Get to a conference like the MAC, where you don't have to have the commitment, you don't have to have the financial commitment that you need to have in the Atlantic 10. Because the teams you're playing against in the Atlantic 10 are a lot different than the teams you'll be playing in the MAC. It's disgraceful that a school like Fordham, that is such a great academic institution, that excels in everything that it does, is an embarrassment in basketball for as long as it's been. It's unbelievable. 29 years. I have not watched a Selection Sunday on CBS or ESPN with any kind of anticipation in 29 years. This is New York City. This is a golden opportunity. You've got a head coaching position open. The last thing I want to see is you hiring, and this is nothing against, you know, a highly thought of assistant. That's not what you need right now. You need somebody who's coached at a lower level maybe, or somebody who's coached at a higher level and is presently out of college basketball. Fran Fraschilla would be a perfect guy for you to hire. There are guys that Peter, I got to tell you what. I've gotten so many calls from coaches that want this job, that desperately want this job, because they think this is a sleeping giant. It can't keep sleeping forever. It's Rip Van Winkle right now.
No, it becomes a dead giant.
It becomes a dead giant. Thank you. They are missing opportunity after opportunity, and I said this on Friday. I told people back then, why don't you go after a guy like Patino? Oh, what he did in Louisville. I said, somebody will go after him, another Catholic institution like Iona did. Oh, so they don't care? So there are coaches out there that could do this job. They can do the job. Shaheen Holloway from St. Peter's. I think he wants the job. I've heard he really wants the job. Steve Lavin wants the job. Tim Welsh wants the job. Fran Fraschilla wants the job. People that have been there and done that and know how to recruit in this area. Please don't hire some assistant coach that nobody heard of from school in the South that is not New York City. Bring in somebody that could tap into New York City and recruit in New York City and also recruit outside. Fordham's not some little tiny school. Fordham's a big-time deal. Their tuition is $65,000 a year. They have a long waiting list. Why can't you be what Georgetown, when Georgetown got John Thompson and Patrick Ewing? You look at what Georgetown used to be. Georgetown used to be Fordham. And look at the profile that school has now because of the great basketball teams that John Thompson put together and the national championship they won. It can be done. And don't tell me about the gym. The gym could be an advantage, and then you play your big games at Madison Square Garden. Stop. I'm sick of it. I want to enjoy a selection Sunday. Why does Peter get to enjoy it and I don't?
I went to a school that at least puts in an effort.
I'd love to argue with you, but there's no effort.
No, well, I mean, the truth is, you know, at Maryland, for example, there's just one example. Turgeon's a questionable head coach, but he knows how to recruit. They got a guy who understands that you're at a program of import. You have to be able to fill that building. I know Maryland's not, you know, Syracuse or Michigan. But we're a pretty high-level program that plans to put 18,000 people in the stands every night. And they have a guy who's able to do that. You have to play in that league.
They're in a big-time league, and they realize they have to be big-time and have to have a big-time coach. You can't be in the Atlantic 10 and keep trying to play cheap and get a cheap coach that you hope is going to explode into something. Get a coach that wants to stay there. There are coaches out there that would kill for this job, and they would stay there. They're not looking for that big job anymore. Get it straightened out and then bring in your hopeful assistant later on when you actually have something to stand on. They've got a great guy. They've got a great guy as their AD, Eddie Cull. All I know is I hope that they give him the support that he needs and let him hire the coach that he wants to hire. Not somebody on the cheap. It's ridiculous. It's an embarrassment to a great school that they can't make the NCAA tournament in 29 years. I was 31 the last time they made it.
Oh, very different life for you back then.
It's amazing. It's amazing. I see guys like Mike Vaccaro, the great columnist from The Post, and Adrian Wojnarowski, and our old PD, Justin Craig. They luxuriate over St. Bonaventure getting it. Well, if St. Bonaventure could do it, how come Fordham can't do it? How come Fordham can't do it? I'd like to know. What's the difference? They got big-time alums at Fordham, too. Bring in Vin Scully. Bring in Alan Alda. Bring in Denzel Washington. Get it done. It's an embarrassment. Get it done. The big fella comes on in just a moment, right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.